Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Foussaud.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. Hey, ghosties.
Hey, ghosties.
Oh, she did it.
I did it.
Oh, it's a brand new day.
I didn't do it first.
That's right. You never. We'll see. We'll see if we get there. We'll I'm get just there. Surprised you said it. Now that we've shared with everyone that you were the one that came up with it and it's out there, I think you mentally blocked out that you came up with
it. No, I know. But like I just said it quickly. I say a lot of stuff quickly that I don't end up like.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. And now that we have a podcast to record our thoughts, now we remember things.
There's proof. I'm surprised you don't have proof of it, though.
I don't. We didn't do it during a sound check. Oh. Just in my memory.
It tracks, though.
Yeah. So how are you, Eva?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
We're both feeling very bonita today.
Yes. I woke up with my natural wave and I texted it to Eva and I was like, this would be great for the beach, but it's not great for podcast recording. So I reached bonita status because then you sent me your photo. I was like, I got it.
I just woke up like this.
I got to level up.
I didn't do anything to my hair. I barely brushed it.
The best when that happens,
yeah.
though.
But yeah, so before we get in, we have a topic. We always do. That's kind of the gig with a podcast. I want to ask Danielle something. Yes. I texted her a little bit about it the other day.
You did.
And then I was like, we're going to save it for the pod.
Save it.
Danielle.
Yes.
Will you get a matching ghost tattoo with me?
You know what? I thought this was coming up.
Yes.
And I truly thought, because
the answer is yes.
Let me explain. I have no tattoos.
And yes.
I think we've shared on the podcast. I have no tattoos because I fear, like, is it... Because I'm a designer, there's nothing I really like for a long time.
Right.
I'm always like, oh, it's not going to age well.
I've got a counterpoint to help you with that, but keep going.
Well, I'm like, the one consistent thing in my life, though, is ghosts. I love ghosts.
Yes.
I've always loved ghosts.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with the paranormal. Yeah. When I was in New York, I was sitting beside someone. I was like, oh, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm in TV. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you know, have you heard of like Ghost Adventures? And I had tried, because we're in like this real... Oh, man. I was obviously like, I was really not in my league. I don't know how I ended up at this happy hour. And I was just like, I'm going to try not to fangirl right now.
I'm going to try not to be weird.
But I have so many questions. but ghost is the one thing. Yeah. I'm like, I could be talked into a ghost tattoo.
Yeah.
I think I could.
Yes.
Oh, man. What is my husband going to say?
It's fine. You've got time. So... Few things to note. I have like, I don't know, 10 tattoos-ish,
yeah.
something around that. We're not going to get anything with words.
No, because the problem with that...
You got to pick a font.
You have to pick a font. That's going to be exhausting.
I've only got one tattoo with words on it. It says Piawatchum, which is Lisenyo for Lisenyo.
Yeah.
Like, Lisenyo is my tribal name, but it is the name the government gave us. Piawatchum is what we call ourselves.
Yeah.
It's people of the West. But it's this very fine line tattoo and it's like drawn into the outline of the state of California. So I didn't pick the font.
Yeah.
The artist picked the font because you have to pick something really skinny. It's mm-hmm. like a handwritten, like scripted font. I don't do any other words on my body because I cannot pick a font.
No.
So that's number one. Number two, you just let the artist draw it.
Yeah.
You don't have any input. You tell them what you want. You just let them do it because then you're not going to overthink what it should be.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then I have two tattoo rules. I don't get tattoos between April and August.
Why?
It's bathing suit season.
Oh.
Because you can't get in the water. You're not supposed to go out in the sun with them.
Okay, okay.
So this will be a fall project.
Okay, I like a fall project.
And I only get black and gray tattoos.
Okay, I agree with that.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. Well, plus I just like black and white in general. So.
Well, I decided that a long time ago that I like black and gray tattoos on me. I know a lot of people who have a lot of color and that's cool. But
yeah.
for me, I just like the neutralness of black and gray tattoos.
Sure.
So,
well, the other thing is I'm like, it took me so long to pick my brand colors.
Yeah, no.
That I'm like, to pick colors that are going to live on my body forever.
No.
But I think the tattoos are really like, are truly just, you know, they're just black tattoos.
They're just black tattoos. And black and gray ages better.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not going to fade. I mean, if it fades, it's different. So anyways, I have somebody who I could like.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
This is happening.
She will open her
sweats.
She will open her September books probably in July.
Okay.
I got to commit by then. I think we need a ghost with headphones.
Oh, I love that.
Even though I refuse to wear headphones on the pod, but like,
no, I love that because at first I was like, are you going to make us put the logo on our body?
No, absolutely not.
You don't put a logo on your body because logos get updated. Who knows?
No. Okay. I'll go
with a ghost with a headphone.
I want a little spooky ghost with headphones.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Now, we could do matchy matchy. We could have the same tattoos or we could not do full match. Like one of us could have the headphones and one of us could have the microphone.
Ooh, you should have a microphone.
Right. And you should have the headphones.
I'm excited.
Okay. I'll talk to Shannon. We'll set it up for September.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes.
And
it doesn't have to be big.
I will. You know what? My husband's pretty cool. He's not big on tattoos. This is not his jam.
Okay.
He's going to look at me like, are you really? But he ultimately, he always lets me do my thing.
It's
like,
May. Well, you also have time. It's May.
I'll talk him into it.
She probably won't open her books for the fall until July. So we have a little bit of time. This is one thing I need to tell you about, though. You don't see the design until the day of. That's how almost everybody works.
I get that.
But you can send inspo.
Yeah. But is this the person that's done all your other tattoos?
Okay, yes, she's done all but two.
I already trust her.
Yeah. So. And she probably has some ghost stuff somewhere that I can show you.
Oh, who wouldn't?
Right. So anyways, I can't remember if she's done it or somebody else at her shop has done it, but somebody has done some ghost work that I like.
Cool.
So I'll show it to you.
Awesome.
All right. Y'all heard it.
All right.
Danielle and I are getting tattoos.
Oh, it's recorded. Yay! No wonder you wouldn't ask me over text.
Also, like, I wanted your reaction.
Oh, I love it.
And also, if you back out, I might still go get a ghost tattoo by myself.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And I can't let you do that alone.
Oh,
everyone needs a ghost twin.
That's right. All right. Prepare Will.
I will prepare.
If I need to FaceTime him and pitch it.
And you can see the faces.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Eva, my husband came on a work trip and Eva thought she had the most judgy faces. And then she met my husband.
I was like, is this what it's like talking to me all day? She's like, yeah.
That's why I'm totally unfazed because my husband has very judgy reactions.
Not
in a bad way. I want to clarify that. It's just there's no hiding how he feels about something.
I love the TikToks that are like, I just like agreed to not say anything. And then just like, this is my face, but I didn't say anything. And I'm like, like every time Danielle posts something to social media, which you should go like it. We talked about
go
this.
Like
you should
it,
go
please.
Like the stuff. But every time Danielle posts something to social media, she's like, I know when you've seen it because you immediately text me and write my face, Danielle.
Always the first text. Danielle, my face. I realize that I look at it a lot.
And I don't have a mirror all day.
That's your face.
Is this just what I do to everybody?
That's your face.
It's my face. It's an expressive face.
It is expressive.
It's very expressive.
That's a great way of putting it.
I'm very expressive. You are not unclear about how I feel typically at any moment.
No, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise,
sure.
Otherwise, this podcast would be weird.
It'd be very weird. So anyways, okay.
What's our topic today?
Our topic today was not tattoos, but I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Maybe that should be for a later day.
Yeah. Yeah. So our topic today is projects.
Yes.
My loose title, which I don't think you're actually going to let me put on. Like,
let's hear it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Projects, the good, the bad, and the WTF is a scope.
Yeah.
I feel like I can say it. I don't know if you're going to let me actually title it that.
Well, we'll see. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
So what I want to talk about is your favorite projects.
Yeah.
Yours and mine, clearly, right?
Yes.
We'll talk. Your most bizarre projects.
Okay.
Like the strangest thing you got.
Yeah.
And then like when people ask me what my favorite project is, sometimes it is not the most, I don't know. I have a piece and we'll talk about it that was very important and took a lot of work and I had to testify to get it approved.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
We'll get into that.
But it is very like clean, like design, like it's very functional design. And that always leads me into like conversations with people about like, cool, fun, sexy design is great. And that's what got us here. Like, that's what inspired us. But sometimes I feel like really good functional design is more important than really aesthetic design.
Right.
Like in the overall like world. But we need cool looking billboards and posters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes like I hear people talking and they're like I was talking to a student recently and she showed me this poster series she did and it was really cool. And
yeah.
It was all the inkblot tests and she used it as like a women's health thing and it was really interesting. And then right next to it, she was like, and this is where I redesigned my insurance card because I thought it was confusing. And I was like,
love.
Oh.
Well, and it gets me thinking about a comment one of my professors from SCAD told me a long time ago. And sometimes great design is horrible advertising.
Yes.
And
I like that.
And great advertising Dressing is Horrible Design.
Ooh.
And it's really about how do we kind of marry the two? How can we hit both? Right. How can we make sure we are having still a very effective ad or right. whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
But then also a very good looking design.
Well, and that gets me too into thinking about like, what if it's not advertising?
Yeah.
Like so much of design, like exactly. we do a lot of public facing stuff, whether you call it marketing or communications or advertising, like that's all. I always yeah. feel like a little bit of like we know those different perspectives, but I feel like sometimes in the larger business world, you're all talking about the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
But there's some functional design stuff that I'm like, it is not selling anything. It just has to make sense.
Yeah.
Like in this very specific way. And so anyway, so I'll start with you.
Well,
what's your favorite project you've ever worked on?
Okay.
Oh. Okay. What's one of your favorite projects? Because I get hard pressed to say my number one favorite, but what's your favorite? One of your favorite projects
you've ever worked on? One of my favorites. Let's see. So many. One that I really enjoyed. And it started as a branding project yeah. and turned into a full on advertising campaign.
Yeah.
But it was for Cash Pop for yeah. South Carolina Education Ooh. Lottery.
Yeah.
And it was while I was a senior art director with Chernoff Newman. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because with the game, each state can come up with their own branding for it. So we had a great opportunity to work with them and come up with the branding, the look and feel of this game mm-hmm. as it gets introduced into the state of South Carolina. And we came up with a lot of different ideas. And I was really excited because there was one that I just loved. And it was this whole neon look and feel. And it was pink. It was hot pink.
Yeah, it is.
The only times you get to make a logo that's hot pink.
Not very often.
Pink's not even my favorite color.
It's in our brand, though.
It is. I love using pink though, because you don't get too much. But so it's all pink and purple, and it's this very like kind of almost Miami feel. And it was just cool to watch this idea that was in my head really evolve and kind of yeah. look at how then the production companies took it mm-hmm. and how they were going to evolve it. They did this really cool animation, like they turned Cash Pop into the when it's in the TV spots, they turn Cash Pop into a human. And yes. so there's this neon person in all of the TV spots. And they're like, they're the ones you want to be around because yeah. the tagline that was came up with is the light of the party. And it was just really cool because it was one of those great moments. That was just a year I was having where I just felt like I was
You're in it.
I was in it.
Yeah.
Like, I had so many projects that yeah. year that I just felt so good about. And I was like, I'm doing something. I'm loving this. And I just felt really good about that particular project. And then seeing how much it started to evolve from there. And it's just cool. And it's just, I don't know. I loved it. And it also was a mix of different project types, right? It hit my branding love. Mm-hmm. It hit my love of advertising. Like I love an advertising campaign. I just love it because you can like bring in all these different parties. The clients are always very involved in advertising campaign. You
yeah.
get a TV production in there. I mean, you get photographers. You just get like the whole package. Mm-hmm. And I love that collaboration when you're working on a project. So I don't know. That's probably out of things that I could think of right now, I would go with that.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was fun.
Aww.
So fun. What about you?
First, before we move on, if anybody's listening and wants to see it, Cash Pop is something
yeah.
that made it to market. I always say that because sometimes I talk about stuff and I'm like, it never made it to market or it was a long time ago.
Yeah, no,
so
it's
you can't
there.
Find it anymore.
You
so
can find it.
You can find Cash Pop like right now.
Come to South Carolina.
You just Google it. Google Cash Pop South Carolina and you will see Daniel's
yeah.
work. So I have three.
Yeah.
I have three. Two are kind of, it's kind of appropriate. One was done in the last year or so. One was done when I was pregnant. So 7 years ago.
Yeah.
One was pretty early on in my career. So the most recent one, I rebranded my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Some people say one of the oldest neighborhoods in Columbia.
Yeah.
We are the oldest neighborhood in Columbia. If you look up how it was organized.
Yeah.
1904. Anyways, so I live in Elmwood Park and I rebranded the neighborhood recently.
Cool.
And it was just a really cool project. We went through several rounds of logos and I pulled a lot of different inspiration from like the time period.
Yeah.
they ended up going with a concept where, like, when you drive down the main street, there's all these trees and they like form like a canopy and like the trees are like kind of what we're known for. So they ended up selecting that. And a couple things that I love about it. Number one, I see it every day when I come home.
Yeah, that's fun.
And it looks so good on the signs.
Yeah.
And they like, it just looks so good.
Isn't it fun when you get to see your work in the wild?
Oh my God. I scream every time. I mean, not driving into my neighborhood, but if I don't know what's coming, oh my God.
I never get sick of it.
Oh no.
I know. Like when I was in Amarillo, Texas, I have a client there and obviously I'm not in Amarillo, Texas a lot,
right.
But I actually got to see a billboard that I did in the wild and I was like, man, even all these years,
it doesn't matter.
It's still the coolest.
It doesn't matter.
I love it.
I did a statewide campaign recently. This is like a side note and I know it goes live April 1st, to April 30th.
Yeah.
And, I was driving down the street on April 1st and I saw it. I was like, I am bummed because it is statewide. And when I was prepping all the billboard assets for it, I put in one of the specs and I was like, this is odd. And I double checked it. And then I looked at like the file name and it says CHS. And I was like, oh, I'm making one of the tall, skinny billboards in Charleston, on the way in.
Yeah.
And so I kept saying, I need to go to Charleston sometime in April so I can take a picture of like the tall, skinny. And I never made it down there. But I got to do one of the tall, skinny billboards.
That's cool.
So anyways, Elmwood Park logo, I really loved doing. One of my favorite things to tell people about with this is that all of the brand colors were house colors that you could get to paint your house in 1904 when neighborhood was founded. And I did the same thing when I branded the neighborhood next door, Earlwood. Their neighborhood was established in 1910. So I found ads from 1910 and pulled house paint colors. And that's small stuff that like you only get to say in conversation.
Yeah.
But so that was one of my most recent ones. The thing that like I had to go to the Senate for.
Yeah, I need to hear about this.
Yeah, I have two permanent installations on the State House grounds.
Oh, that's cool. So which ones are they?
So they are two walking trails. There's one right in front of, like if you're standing at the front of the State House, there's a taller one there, like kind of over to the left. And if you go in the back part of the State House, there's another one like dead out, like on the stairs, and it's much shorter. And so I worked at the Hospital Association at the time. We were doing this, like we had a lot of wellness initiatives.
Gotcha.
And so we had this program called a Healthier State House. And
yeah.
So a Healthier State House involved like getting all the lobbyists and legislators. We bought them all Fitbits and like did a step competition. We did on-site like health screening. So it's this whole thing. And then they're like, we want to like put some walking trails right out. And I was like, okay. And so it's funny because I have pictures at the unveiling, which was in April, and it was like 3 weeks before I gave birth. And I got the assignment in the fall, right around the time I found out I was pregnant. So really like this project took not like it was like right alongside my pregnancy. And I remember walking around the state, like I mapped all the trails.
Yeah.
And I named them after like the state bird and the state lizard and all that kind of stuff. And we had to get it approved. And so the Senate, I can't remember which subcommittee, but whoever is in charge of the grounds had to approve it. So I had to take it in there. I had to make real life size mock-ups. I stood in the lobby and talked to legislators and lobbied them on my behalf. I had pictures of it. It was a lot of fun. And so it's made out of granite and steel.
That's so cool.
It was the most stressful, like.
Yeah, I bet.
Sending, because there is no fixing it if it's
like
wrong.
It's like getting a tattoo.
Danielle, I can control who sees my tattoos. If I misspelled salamander on this thing,
oh man,
I was very stressed out.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal too, because I could be mistaken on this, but I'm 95% sure I'm correct.
Okay.
They had not had another new installation on the ground since the African American History Monument, which was erected in 2001.
Okay.
And so this went up in 2017.
Gotcha.
So like 15 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big deal. I could be mistaken. I'm pretty sure that was the like next most recent one. But
someone fact checker.
Somebody fact check me and at me. And so tell me which one.
We'll correct it on the next podcast.
Let me know. But I'm pretty sure that was the most recent one. So anyways.
That's cool.
I submitted it for an Addy and stuff and I didn't win, and which is fine because it's just really clean, functional design.
Yeah.
But it is really cool to say, like, I have something that's going to be on the State House grounds probably longer than I'm going to be alive.
Right. Yeah.
And so, like, who cares if it didn't win an award?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Who cares?
It's going to live on. In steel and granite.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Yeah. That's cool.
And then the other one, I can't even remember that much of a specifics about it because it was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
It was when I was maybe I'd only been working 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I did the hospital I worked at did an employee fund where like you're encouraged to donate a little bit, either lump sum or out of your paycheck. And then like that fund then like helped other employees in the organization. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called because it's been a long time, but it was a big annual employee fund that they did.
Right.
And I did a whole campaign about parts of a boat, like in this poster series.
Yeah.
And then I won Best in Show.
Nice.
It was my first year winning awards for my work and I won Best in Show.
Oh man, that's a cool one.
At the Wally's. Yeah. And so like, it was funny because we were all there and like there were a group of us. And so we were taking turns like who went up to get the awards. And I picked up the previous one. It was fine. And then they got Best in Show. And my coworker next to me stood up to go get it because we're taking turns. And I grabbed Nick Henry. It's fine. It's Nick. It's fine. I grabbed him by the collar and sat him down. I was like, I did this one.
I did it. You sit.
And so like I have pictures of me. I'm like, I don't know, 24.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
So those are my top three. I mean, there's been a lot of other stuff
too. I know. And that's the thing. It was hard to think of, think of it on the spot, but because there's just been so many good ones.
Yeah.
And I think about like the type of projects I like a lot, especially when you're kind of talking, you know, the ones that I find most memorable are typically the advertising campaigns that I've worked on. Especially anything involves a TV shoot or
Done a lot of stuff like that. So that's why mine.
It's just so much fun.
I also thought this would be interesting because we have different backgrounds. So like I was interested to hear like, do you have any UX stuff that you just love?
Well, and that's the thing. It's funny because I enjoy a branding project, but I love an advertising campaign because there's so many different deliverables to it. But man, there's just something about UX. So
you're a little UX girly.
To give background, I started off, like there was a point in my life back when I graduated from SCAD, I said, I will never do web. I will never do
digital. It's funny because I said, I would never do advertising.
Isn't that funny? And then the recession happened and I needed a job.
Right. Now we're like, what pays?
Yeah. What pays? And I have done website design and I dabbled in development.
I dabbled. She physically dabbled in front of me, y'all.
I was a dabbling developer. But I knew enough to land a web development job, which was cool. And I really enjoyed the company I was at. I had this fantastic female boss that she's one of the best coders I've met because she's also a teacher. And she put a lot of time and effort into making me even better. And I really appreciate it. I love any boss that's like truly a teacher. And she was fantastic to work with. And one of the things she said is, you know, it's easier to teach a designer how to code than teach a coder how to design.
1,000%
And they needed someone who could do both.
Yeah.
So they kind of saw it as there is value here in getting in your design expertise and we will get you up to speed with coding. And then there was a job opportunity as a front end developer at Turnoff Newman. And I had wanted to work there for so long. And I was like, I need to go for this. And I got the job there.
Yeah.
But then I always struggled. I always battled with this internal struggle, which I love design. I love art direction. I want to be on the TV shoots. I want to be doing more, but I also love this. But then I kind of reached a point where I felt like I couldn't keep up to speed with like the other front end developers, like all the new tech that was coming in. It's like a new language to learn every year.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I couldn't keep up. And not so much I couldn't keep up. It's that I didn't really want to keep up.
It's a whole different beast. And I real like side note on this. I was talking to some students recently and somebody asked me if I do UX. And I was like, not really. But every now and then I'll get paired up with somebody who like wants me to do some front end design.
Yeah.
Not complex stuff, but like, you know, they don't need a whole like team. Yes. They just need me to help them do some of the aesthetics. And they asked me like how I build it out for them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the last one I did, I built it in Photoshop and someone was like, they didn't want you to do it in Figma. And I was like, so I've never opened Figma because I have a tech call every time I do one of these things because I don't know what they want from me.
My thing, I will say, don't use Photoshop for web anymore. It used to be a thing.
That's what he told me to do.
I don't touch it anymore. Either use Adobe XD or use Figma. Or if there's another program out there, Photoshop should not be used for full on web design
in this
anymore.
Specific,
it used to be.
In this specific instance, I think he was just going to go rebuild it anyways.
Okay, fair.
So I was just putting something together
for him to then take to
the, and okay. do whatever.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know. So this is what I told them, because they had these. They said something. They were, and I was like, don't. I have a little meeting.
Yeah.
with whoever's going to build this thing, and I'm yeah. like, you tell me where I'm supposed to work, because I can figure it out.
No, and that's fair, because even like the whole XD versus Figma thing, I usually say to the client, which one do you prefer? I have my preference.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I prefer Adobe XD mainly because it's in the Creative Cloud
sure.
suite, and Adobe's decided not to support it anymore because they were going to merge with Figma. I don't know where anything stands anymore. It's fine. It's not fine. I feel like the UX designers keep getting shoved to the side by Aww. Adobe, and we want better. My finger was pointing. I hope y'all know
Adobe. That. She's adding Adobe man. Right now.
But so I don't know. I just really liked it. It's just, it's a little bit cleaner. It's a little sleeker. And it's using all the same tools that I was using in other Adobe program. So it's like, it's a little more.
It is helpful to stay.
For yeah,
because your key commands are probably
yeah,
the same, right?
But like I will use Figma. So, and I enjoy Figma, and it's very robust, and it can do a lot. And I do appreciate that about it. So getting back to kind of that journey, I kind of felt like I couldn't keep up. Plus, I think I was getting in a phase of my life where like I'd rather lead others to sure. to do great work.
Yeah.
And I was reaching that point. So I went back over to senior art direction, and I did get to do more branding, marketing, and TV production and things like that. And that was really, really cool. And then when I was on that side, I missed UX.
Aww.
And I got a lot of UX project. If there was a UX project, it usually went to me. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of that, to the point then I was at another crossroads with my career path. And then we decided, okay, what if you do associate interactive director? So I was leading the web development team. Mm-hmm. And I loved that, because kind of what I was saying before, I rather lead a team to do great things in the UX design development space. Mm-hmm. But then when I was in that phase, I'm like, I'm missing doing the work. So it's always been like this internal struggle, which is part of why I started to work for myself, because I can pick and choose the projects that I want to work on. And I get to do the work again. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'll probably also reach the point where like I'll miss mentorship, and I'll miss having people, you know, work with me and teaching and growing their careers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's something it's funny. UX, it's a fickle thing with me. But I think I just need to ultimately realize, I think people have decided to kind of associate me as being great with UX projects. So I'm like, I should probably lean into this and do more of it. Because when I get a web project, man, I feel like I'm home
you
again.
You get so excited.
I get so excited about it.
I do web work. I do like fast, like out of the box websites.
Yeah.
But I used to do coding like way back in the day. I don't love it. Like I just never, it didn't pull me the way other parts of design
sure.
do.
Yeah.
And like if I was in a position where I needed to know a lot of UX, like if for some reason I decided to give up freelancing and I was given some sort of position where it was like a role where I was doing some UX and I was doing like just more traditional design, I'm sure I could teach myself.
Yeah.
But like, it's just not something that I was drawn to.
Do you would you like an annual report?
I love an annual report.
Okay. So this is what I was,
I love a long Word document.
I will do one.
I love 20 different types of paragraph styles in my InDesign document. All day.
Again, I'll do them, and I have done them for clients, and I will continue to do them for you. Oh, it's not my favorite.
I love layout design.
It's not. So when you were saying like, you just couldn't get in
I could figure it out.
But you'll still do it.
I bet
she will enjoy like an annual report or a long page document, because that's not the project I want to spend time on. I will.
2 years ago, I did a project. It was 170 pages long.
A nightmare.
It was a layout project. I worked with Bailey Lewis on it, who comes from a UX background. So she made wireframes for me.
Yeah.
Because she's big on like, you know, so as a designer, typically people give me just chunks of copy.
Yeah.
And I decide where the page breaks are. I decide how it needs to flow. Like that's part of my job. And she's like, no, I'm going to tell you where it breaks. Right.
Okay.
And then sometimes I would go back to her and be like, this doesn't break easily between these pages.
Yeah.
How flexible are we on this? And sometimes it would be like, actually, that's fine because you know what you're doing and you made it break in a way that makes sense. And then sometimes she's like, absolutely not. That needs to all stay together.
Yeah.
We worked on this project for months. the amount of paragraph styles I had in there, oh my God, probably 40.
Yeah.
Like it, I had H8, H7, oh my God, like so much subheads and bullet styles. And I love it.
It's just funny too, because both those two things, the UX and then
a long layout project.
There's a lot of similarities between the two. Mm-hmm. It's just they both require different tools and software to do them. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. It's just funny because it's like you would think that people in both of those worlds would enjoy the other one. It's like, no, we just don't.
Well, for me, I know exactly what it is. Yeah. Though. Layout design is what got me to design.
Yeah.
So like, I joined the Arts and Literary magazine staff when I was 15. And so that is just layout.
Yeah.
That is just layout. And part of why I went to journalism school is because when I decided what I wanted to do with my life on April 20th, 1999, I can tell you the day that I decided I was going to journalism school. I mean, at the time, magazines were still very prevalent. Newspapers were very prevalent. I always tell people I went to journalism school in a very interesting time because I was there from 01 to 05. So in that time, the 24-hour news cycle was born.
That was a big shift.
Big shift. Social media was born.
Yeah.
9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of different, it was a fascinating time to be studying like mass media. But anyways, I love layout design because that is what brought me to design.
Yeah.
And so much of my early portfolio work was newspaper layout.
Right.
And, I think sometimes people look at it, I know you don't think this way, but sometimes people look at it as it's easier design. I'm like, it is not easier design.
I don't think it's easier.
Yeah. I don't think you think that, but some people do because it seems less sexy. It's less interesting. And I was like, it's actually harder.
Yeah.
Or maybe not harder, but it is just as challenging as other forms of design.
Right. And it's just funny because when I graduated, I thought I was going to love like magazine design and things like that.
Yeah.
No.
I love it.
I love an ad that goes in a magazine and coming up with that. But I don't think that is for me as much as I really thought that was going to be my thing.
I love it.
And
it's like a big puzzle.
It's funny how I shifted.
Yeah.
But,
and it's interesting now because now I have conversations with people about like layout design and I'm like, so the fundamentals that I learned about like eye movement and stuff like that, some of that is still there. Some of that is innate, right? Like some of that is just how people's brains work. But I was like, but some of it has changed and some of it has changed because of UX design and social media and the fact that we're on our phones all
day.
So I was like, the way that I would design stuff and layout 10, 15 years ago is not necessarily how I do it now. And so I explained to people, I'm like, you have to look at, is it called the F pattern? The way like somebody looks at a paragraph, somebody showed me a heat map once, a UX designer.
I can't remember what it's called.
Do you know what I'm talking about though? Yeah. When you look at the paragraph and people's eye go all the way to the end and they just start scanning.
That's why we're always told, put your logo in that lower right-hand corner because that'll be the last thing your eye gets to.
Right. But you don't have to do that anymore.
No.
It's okay.
It's funny. Like we were told like, you always have to do that. No, you don't.
It's a lovely suggestion.
It's a great spot, but
you can start it there and decide if you want to move it. But it's interesting. So I tell people like how digital design influences. I hesitate to even call it print design because a lot of times my large layout pieces still are never printed.
Yeah.
Like they're still consumed in a digital format.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So that also plays into it as well. And so then, but I need to know, are we printing this or is this going
to
be digital?
You need to know
only?
That information.
Yeah.
It's funny too, when I'm working with, if I'm working with a designer who's primarily working in a print world, mm-hmm. I usually know because we'll be talking about like design assets for UX.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about images and then we'll talk about like, well, we can do this because this will look good here. I'm like, it will on desktop.
Yeah.
But you need to make that, you need to think more fluid than that.
So that
because I need to
mobile.
Make sure we'll also, that particular asset's also going to work well with mobile.
Yeah.
And depending on the project, more people might be looking at mobile. So we need to be thinking about how it looks on mobile first, and then we'll get to desktop. Yeah. So it is interesting, but I think that there's way more overlap than there used to be. I used to be a unicorn in the world because there were like no coders that also did design for a long time.
Right.
And I felt like such a unicorn about it. And now it's more of the norm
yes.
to to have someone who knows how to do both.
Or at least understands both. Like
maybe at least understands.
Maybe you stand more in one world than the other, but you understand both.
Exactly.
Of them.
So this whole conversation got me thinking. Yeah. And I don't know if you thought about it yet, but I had asked Eva, I was like, do you remember what your first paid job was?
I don't. Okay. You asked me that yesterday. I did not think more of it. I do not remember. I just don't.
So I had to think about it. And
you have a story. I have a story. Yeah.
It was in 2004.
Okay.
My first paid job. And I remember specifically because I had the Ashley Simpson haircut because I was really into her at the time. She was real popular at that time. Like, I was like, what year was that? No, this matters. This haircut matters in this story.
What?
Because so I was working at the Holiday Inn in Charleston, West Virginia. No, just picture all of it. All of it. The haircut, the working at the Holiday Inn in Charleston. Oh, you'll see. You'll see. And they needed, so the Holiday Inn in Charleston, for background, I was a banquet waitress there.
Why does it feel like you're telling me this story backwards?
Maybe a little.
Maybe a lot. You're starting with your hair and then where you are and then the job. Why are we not going forward?
You know. So I worked the banquet side and we got a lot of events that came in. It was a popular venue. It's right off the river. It's anyway. So they were trying to really, they wanted an ad to push in Bridal Magazine in the Charleston, West Virginia area. And they knew that I was going to school for graphic design and I got a certificate in graphic design when I was in high school. And so they were like, hey,
are you home for the summer in the story?
Yes. No, I think this was it was either summer or winter break. One of those. Cause I always, if there was a break, I was working. So I said, yes, I can do this for you. And it was just a small, maybe quarter size page ad. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, so we need a picture, though, of a bride and a groom. Little did I know that
are you the bride?
I'm the bride.
Who's the groom?
It was one of the chefs. Perfect. So the best part is then I am in my fabulous Ashley Simpson hair wearing a bridal gown from.
Do you have a copy of this?
I need to find this.
Go find it.
I'm wearing a bridal gown from the 80s because it's my boss's old.
Perfect.
Wedding dress.
This is outstanding.
And it we kind of pinned it together on me and I'm here I am with the chef. And we're doing this little photo shoot up in the top floor of the Holiday Inn. And the funny thing, so I did the layout for everything. And I was like, this is bizarre, but it was my first paid job. But I remember because I kind of forgot that it was out there.
Yeah.
And I moved away from West Virginia. And I years later, someone be like, I saw your wedding photo in a bridal magazine. And I was like, oh, no. Wonderful. I just made that ad.
I didn't marry that man.
So I still wonder, is that still being used?
Oh, man.
And it was so many it was before hard drives, I think. So it was so many computers ago. I don't even know if that still exists. I am curious.
Your mama doesn't have one?
I hope not. I just want to know if there is a bridal magazine in Charleston, West Virginia that still is my Ashley Simpson hair.
I desperately need to see this.
That was my first paid gig.
I don't have a story like that.
Follow that. No, you can't.
Well, because I have no idea what my first paid design job was. Yeah. I just don't know. And I thought about it a little bit more. I got paid to do a lot of stuff in college.
Yeah.
I used to sell my paintings.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that counts.
We'll count it. Sure.
And so I don't know. I was probably doing some band's flyer. Maybe they paid me. Maybe they didn't. It's all blended together.
Well, that's the thing. And I think this was so hard when you're asking me what's your favorite project? And I feel like my favorite project's usually whatever I did most recently.
Well, I mean, ask me in 6 months and it'll probably be a different favorite project.
Yeah. Or if I say most recently, there's a lot. I just can't talk. There's some really cool projects I'm working on right now, but do NDAs. I cannot disclose what they are.
I'm going to look on my website. Fun. Is there something else on here that I actually really loved? I was prepared to talk about the good, the bad, the WTF, but we just talked about the good, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think my Ashley Simpson hair was the bad.
Well.
And the what?
And the WTF.
The WTF.
I don't have a bad or WTF to bring you. Just Danielle and a weird haircut.
The real bad ones I will not share because I'm still traumatized.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But we'll do another one because I'd love to do.
I'd love to do it with a guest on and have them talk about their good, bad and WTF.
I want to turn this into a game.
Yes.
I want you and I to write down the most random things that we've ever worked on.
I love it.
And then I give, maybe we quiz each other. Maybe we quiz another person. I don't know how
we do
it.
Is this real?
No, pick which one of these things did I actually make?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to see them, but like out of these,
yeah.
Like, did I make an area rug, a pair of socks, or a hotel key card?
Oh, a key card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got some better ones.
Yeah.
I got some better ones. So anyways, well, this is great.
I loved it.
Yeah. Thanks for telling us about your haircut, Danielle.
Oh, wild time. Literally wild.
I need you to find that.
I'm pretty sure that haircut only cost me $10 too.
How much did you get paid for the ad? Do you remember?
I don't know, like probably $50.
Yeah.
I mean, probably something real low. Or I probably just said, just add more to my paycheck. I don't know.
That'll work too. All right. Well, this was great.
Yes.
All right. Y'all, we'll talk to you next time.
All right. See ya.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.